right, who here likes either reading books, watching television, or going to movies? Oh, come on. We can be a little more honest than that. Who has ever read a book, attended a movie, or ever watches television? Look around. Look around. Yeah, and anybody with their hands down is probably a liar, which is good. It's good to have you here, grateful. Jesus loves you, and he can save you from whatever you just lied about. But here's the thing, because here's the thing. All of us are people that are drawn to story. All of us are drawn to story. Story is a huge part of what it means to be human. I'm wondering, can we put on some of the sermon slides? Pete, would you help maybe transition some of those systems over? Thank you. Very good. So I wanted to take just a moment and kind of look at story and what it means to be part of God's story and how our story interacts with God's story. If you've got your Bible app, you can follow along with me. Just look under the live tab under Columbia Grove. Here's a little English 101. Every story has three parts. Every story has a beginning, has a middle, and an end. Every story has an introduction. Every story has a problem. Every story has a climax. Every good story has a resolution. That's also true for you, and it's true for the entire world. In fact, the Bible, just quickly, tells this story that in the beginning, God created the world to be good. It starts with creation, with Adam and Eve, our very first parents, a world that was created to be amazing and wonderful. And because it was amazing and wonderful, it had in place with it moral laws, things that make the world good, things that for most people, I mean, we feel this on a gut level, like people are supposed to be treated well. No one should go hungry. No one should go without. That generosity is a good thing, and fidelity is a good thing, and gratitude is a good thing, and honor is a good thing, and respect is a good thing. We know all these things to be true, but there is a problem. There is a problem. Started with our first parents, but then continues on in us. There is a problem that we fall, we sin, we don't live up to the very things that God would have us to live up to. We are desperately and deeply broken. All of us. So there's this horrible, horrible problem. There is a debt to be paid. Did you know that right now, this is not a debt on the same level, but this is maybe just to help our minds get wrapped around it. Right now, as a nation, we are, I think it was $18 trillion in debt. And so what that means is that for everybody here, if you've ever breathed air in the United States of America, and a little bit smoky today, but it's good air. It means you personally owe about $55,500. So kids, you get to work because you got a lot to do. Now, can you imagine if we got that statement in the mail every month? You know, you only owe $56,000, and just arrives every single month only, and it increases and interest compounds, and so the amount gets higher and higher and higher, and you think, okay, I'll get a lemonade stand and I'll make a $5 payment this month, and next month I'll make a $15 payment towards that, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, that debt. Well, that gives us a little bit of a picture of the problem that the world is actually in. Because see, this debt of humanity, the thing that we have done together, and the thing that we individually participate in, every time we disappoint God, every time we fall short of the ideals, the very things that make the universe good, our debt grows and grows and grows and grows. And the scriptures use this phrase that the wages of sin, that's what I'm talking about here. When we live out of alignment with God's will and plan, the wages of sin is death. So we have this huge, huge dilemma. I mean, humanity has this absolutely monumental sin debt, something that we cannot repay ever, no matter how hard we try. Now, every world religion and every philosophy has some awareness of this, and so they come up with some answer for it. Most of the time, it's just well-intentioned advice of how maybe you could try to not be so much in debt. It will teach you how to be just a little bit better, teach you to not be quite so selfish. And so every faith except for one, really has fundamentally the same answer. Just try harder. Do better. And if you do well enough, well, then God will like you. And you'll be accepted. And you'll just like to, we often think almost like those pictures of heaven, like there's a test, you know, you've got to pass the test. And if you pass the test, you're into heaven. The problem is there's a debt to be paid that none of us can pay. So there's creation, there's fall, but then there's redemption. There's a hero to this story. And here's the part. It's good news, but it sounds like bad news when we first hear it. The story that the Bible tells is that there is a hero, and it's not you. It's not you. Poke your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. You're not as good as you think you are, nor am I. But there is a hero to this story, and his name is Jesus. That what he accomplished on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, paid that debt. The sin debt of humanity. Imagine having an $18 trillion monthly bank statement arrive, and then the next month, zero. That would be a good day, wouldn't it? Would you be excited about that? Would that maybe change the way you see yourself and the world around you? And you go, wow, this is a whole lot better. I much prefer not being $18 trillion in debt. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, I would much prefer to not be $18 trillion in debt. And that is the story of the Bible. That's the story of what Jesus has done. And so out of that redemption, we are brought into call, that we have been given a mission, that we have things to do. We are called. And we're going to be looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, just quickly, because this passage helps us to see this, this pattern, the story of history. And if we allow it, it can be our story, and we can find our meaning and purpose as we align our lives and stories with God's story. Therefore, we're starting with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new person. If you are $18 trillion in debt, and now you're not, that would be life-changing, wouldn't it? Life-changing. The old is what?
Gone.
And the new life has what?
Begun.
All this is a what?
Yeah.
From who?
God.
Who brought us back to himself through who?
Christ.
Next slide, please. That's the story. Creation. Fall, there's sin, there's a problem, but there is redemption, there is a hero, there is Jesus. There is Jesus who lived, who died, who rose again to set you, to set me, to set us free. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians again. All this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Keep going. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. That's call. That you and I, we have a mission. So we are Christ's, what's that word?
Ambassadors.
As ambassadors, what's it mean to be an ambassador? A representative, right? So we have ambassadors for our nation. Go around the world and represent U.S. interests and hopefully behave in the kinds of ways that we would say this is reflective of our values as a nation. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Next slide. So we've been given a call. We've been given a call because of what has been accomplished on the cross for you, for me, for us. We have a call. And then it summarizes this whole message in verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, the one person who didn't have debt, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made, what's that next word?
Right.
Right. We could be made right with God through who?
Christ.
If you've never heard it before, or you've never thought about it this way before, would you just today be thinking about what does it mean? If this is the story of God's work in the world, what does that mean for your story? If you don't have to be the hero, if salvation is already available, if right standing with God is already available through Jesus Christ on the cross, how does that change how you feel about yourself? How does that change how you could feel about the world around you? If you don't need to work harder to impress God, you just need to receive that gift and live as a free person. Live as somebody who has been redeemed and set free. Somebody who is already deeply loved. Someone who has already been set right. All we can do is step into that identity. Next slide, please. There's creation, there's fall, but there's redemption through Christ. And through Jesus, we have a call in our life. And we are invited into the kingdom of God. That one day, the world will be set right. That sin will be eradicated. That death will be no more. There'll be a time when I remember way, 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 way back when people used to get sick. I remember way, way, way back when there used to be cancer. I remember way, way, way back when we used to actually need lawyers. I remember way, way, way back when we needed police officers and soldiers. So there's going to be a lot of retraining that's happening in heaven. Grateful for those who fill those roles now because they help a broken world to cause less damage. Grateful for those roles, but there'll be some retraining going on in the new heaven and the new earth as things are set right. And that journey can begin with us today, that you, that I, that we have been set right with God. Take just a moment and talk with somebody next to you about this one question. How does knowing that you have been reconciled to God, or that you could be, if you're willing to receive it, reconciled to God, how does it change how you feel about yourself? How could that change how you feel about yourself? How could that change how you feel about God? Take just a moment and either on your app, just send me a note of what you're thinking if you want to kind of sit and think on your own, or talk to somebody next to you. What do you think on this question? And then I want to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to jump into singing in just a moment. But take just a moment and talk to somebody. See, the story of the Bible invites us to dream about what it could be like to be people and fully live as people who are completely free. Completely free. Who are completely loved. And have a message of reconciliation for this world. See, this world is broken. There's still disease, there's still poverty, there's still inequality. We still abuse one another, we still abuse the environment, we still choose our own self-interest over the interests of others, but it doesn't have to be that way. As Christ works in our life, in your life, in my life, and in our hearts, and as we serve and follow him together, God is setting this world right. And he invites those who are distant from him to get to know him, that your life can be changed. See, the message of the scriptures, the message of the gospel isn't get your act together and here's some advice to do that. The message of the gospel is that you have been reconciled to God through Christ. Allow his work in your life. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, you could even do that this morning. Just say, Jesus, I know that I need you. I know that I cannot save myself. So God, come into me and make me that brand new person, just like you promised. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus, come into my life and make me a brand new person. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this message of your redeeming work in the world. That we are people that have been set free by your grace, by your power, by your victory over sin and death. That you have called us. That you have chosen us. That you've invited us to be ambassadors of your kingdom. And so, Lord, for all that means, in how we feel about ourselves and how we treat the people around us, how we treat this world, how we engage in the problems of this world, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide and lead. And God, we pray for anyone today who might feel like they are distant from you. Lord, may today, may even right now at this moment be the moment that they receive you. And just in the stillness of their own heart, say, Jesus, I know that I need you. Be my hero. Be my rescue. Make me new. We pray all these things in the one who saved, who redeemed, and who transformed us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Say, if you are taking a new step of faith today, I hope you write that down in your connection card, or maybe tell somebody about it. Maybe tell somebody from our prayer team or someone on staff. We would love to talk to you about that and just celebrate that. I invite you to stand as we join together in song.